Hello and welcome to Still Any Good, the podcast where we run the risk of ruining our childhoods by revisiting... Fuck, I can't even remember... if the fully remembered films. Start that again. Hello and welcome to Still Any Good, the podcast clip show where we run the risk of ruining our childhoods by revisiting fondly remembered film clips. My name's Robert Johnson, and as ever, tonight I am joined by Chris Webb. Hello.
Hello. Happy centenary.
Happy century, yeah. This is sort of a hangover from our 100th episode, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So this is almost like contractual obligation, isn't it? After you've done a few albums, you have to release a greatest hits album.
It's like when they have their birthday and they're like, it's my birthday week. And they have like 3 or 4 different little events for their birthday week. And you have to say to them, come on, you're 48. Well, you know, I'm the sort of person who my favourite albums are often the best of. So this should be high quality.
To be fair, the best of Ash is much better than any of their
standalone albums.
I'll go with that. We'll say this is like the intergalactic Sonic 7 Inches of Still Any Good.
Ooh, okay.
Good title, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm happy with 7 Inches.
Mm. Yeah. So this is very much like Friends, where they get to the middle of a season and, you know, they've obviously, the writer's room's a bit tired that week and they just, one of them gets stuck in a lift and goes, hey, do you remember that time when we did this? And then they just have a clip show. This is basically that.
This is a bit of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we are being a little bit meta, I suppose, because we are reviewing old episodes to see if they are still any good.
Ooh. In a half-assed way, isn't it? We kind of said, why don't we look at our best of, what our faves were.
Yeah.
And kind of what our, the ones that we aren't so beloved, you know, and it's, I guess it's an opportunity to talk a little bit more about, to look back on the, God, how many years has it been, Chris?
It's been 6 years.
Jesus.
We started in July 2017.
Yeah, that's still 6 years, isn't it?
It is six years.
2017. Oh my God. You know, has it brought us fame?
No.
No. Has it brought us fortune?
No.
No. But has it brought us a loyal, large... fan base? Also no. God, why are we doing this, Chris?
Has it brought us happiness?
Yes. It's contributed to happiness. Absolutely. We enjoy it. We love it.
Yeah, this has been a very, very regular part of my life since then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoy it. I still enjoy it. I don't get tired of it. I don't intend to get tired of it.
Yeah, and it may not be a large fan base, but we do have some loyal fans out
there. We do.
We have some people that have stuck with us.
Since episode one.
Really?
Yeah.
Other than my mum. I don't think she's ever listened to one, but she's always there.
She
with
tells
the light.
Everyone how good it was. Yeah, of course she is. Yeah. You know who you are out there, so thank you very much.
I don't know who you are, but you do. You do.
In line with that, we have received some very, very nice messages to commemorate our birthday, 100th episode.
Yeah.
We'll read those as we go along.
Oh, cool.
Which would be really, really nice.
I haven't seen them, so I can't wait to hear them.
And some of them aren't emails. Some of them are in other formats.
Ooh.
I know. It's very exciting.
Facsimile?
Semaphore.
Yeah, ooh.
So, yes.
You know, we compiled our sort of faves.
What's first on your list?
Well, it's a little bit obvious. Okay, it's very obvious, in fact. But my first on my list is going to be, coincidentally, our very first episode, Krull.
Wow, now that does take me back.
Hello, and welcome to the first episode of Still Any Good, the podcast where we run the risk of ruining our childhoods by looking back on fondly remembered films from our past. I'm Robert Johnson, and I'm here with Chris Webb. Chris.
Hello. Oh, sorry, I interrupted you there. Hiya, Rob. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm not too bad. This is very exciting.
It is exciting, isn't it? So, we are starting with your choice this week, which is Krull. I was a little bit tentative, but you know what? Well, let's just see, shall we?
Let's see if it is still any good. So can we have a talk about the cast? Because
one of the assets of the film.
It's great. At the time when I watched it, the only one I knew who it was Tucker Jenkins, Todd Carty.
Yeah, Tucker from Grange Hill.
Which was probably one of the reasons I enjoyed it so much. He's bloody awful in this.
He is, and I think his big moment is when he tries to jump on a fire mirror and sort of bounces off and
on his ass. He does one of those "and my axe" kind of lines where he says, "I have no sons, but I will follow you."
Yeah,
it's terrible.
It is, it is. And I mean, the cast is, of course, headed by, as all kind of leading men should be called, Ken Marshall.
It's quite a bold look. It's a bit George Michael.
A little bit.
A bit Noel Edmonds. Mm-hmm. A bit Hallmark Channel Noel Edmonds biopic. That kind of look.
It is.
He's very hairy. A very hairy.
He's got a blanket on his chest.
So after all that, we've torn it to pieces.
We have.
Did you enjoy it?
You mean? Do you mean, Christopher, was it still any good?
I thought it was going to be absolutely awful. Krull is kind of a whipping boy for rubbish films from the 80s, and it's one that everyone talks about and says, oh, well, remember Krull, ha ha. I actually quite enjoyed it. I thought it was quite good fun.
I enjoyed it too. I thought it was good fun too.
I wouldn't watch it again.
No.
I enjoyed it.
A really good choice to start off with,
and it does really sum up that slightly rubbishy 1980s thing that you would have loved as a kid. So it's a good start.
It sort of epitomizes, doesn't it? For men of a certain age,
absolutely.
What kind of shit we'll be talking about in this podcast? But
I think it's me going, "Ooh, this is exciting!"
Yeah, there's a minute of sort of going, "Ooh, podcast, woo."
Listeners won't give a shit about this, but I do remember we were going to record this in former New Zealand Prime Minister Helen Clark's apartment in Wellington.
Oh, God.
Because we were going to Wellington to watch a gig.
Oh, my God. Yes.
And then you got the flu.
Fuck, I had totally forgotten that. God, who were we going to see?
It was the wedding present.
That's right, your favourite band.
And I went alone instead.
Oh, my God. God, that's really taking me back.
Yeah.
You've like incepted the memory back into my brain.
So as is the tradition with Still Any Good, even our very first episode was delayed.
Well, all good things are worth waiting for.
They are.
Oh, but I do vaguely remember Krull, you came to my flat.
Your old house?
Yeah, my old.
That's right. Welcomed by your two beautiful dogs.
I know. I've got a note there saying it does feel like a lifetime ago. It was before my son was born. It was when our dogs, Stanley and Zoe, were still alive, before I, you know, my mid-season moved to Wellington and came back. Hey, I think we had a couple of beers, didn't we?
We did. We used to drink beer for every episode.
Yeah, we did, I mean, this podcast was your idea. I mean, we've talked about this in the past, but Chris and I were screenwriting a feature film project, which was sort of supported by the New Zealand Film Commission with some development funding.
Yes, it was optioned.
It was optioned.
We had a director, and the director who signed on, he left the project because he'd just won an award at Cannes. For his short film, it was Cannes,
And, you know, that was a really exciting time for us. And then the Film Commission then decided to...
Stop paying us.
They went ahead with production funding for a film that was sort of a similar setting.
And to add insult to injury, it was fucking shit.
It was fucking terrible. It was lit like a poorly made TV commercial. It was really bad. But anyway...
We're not bitter, obviously.
Yeah. I've reread our screenplay and ours may have been worse. So this was a really nice way of, I guess, continuing on that creative partnership.
I think that's right. Because we had tried to do some other writing projects. I know we got quite close to getting a pilot going into production that we wrote. Do you remember that? The Havelock work?
Oh, God,
Yeah, that was good.
That was really good. That was a nice idea, wasn't it?
It was. And you had a couple of shorts made at the 48 Hour.
Oh, yeah. Like, but
they
were
good. I enjoyed them.
Yeah, they were, you know, those experiments.
They were good.
Yeah. And then you obviously had an award-winning short script as well that you wrote as well.
Award runner-up. I came second.
Well, that's an award.
I won a prize.
That's an award.
Yeah, that's an
prize
award.
Winning, yeah. Prize winning.
Oh, yeah, prize winning.
Yeah,
okay.
Prize winning. Yeah, we kind of kept our toes in it for a while and then it just, you know, hey, I've got no, that's a lie. I do have regrets. But
well,
hey,
I certainly do. I mean, I'm incredibly bitter.
But this has been a lovely side effect
I don't think it's any secret that my main influence, and last week we talked about who your influence is.
Yes.
My main podcasting influence was one called Film Fandango, which no longer exists.
No.
Which was a podcast that I was addicted to. I loved it. And it really, really did inspire me to go and do something like that myself. And as soon as I sort of raised that with you, you were keen as mustard, which was great.
Yeah. I was very much a podcast novice. You sort of got me into podcasts, actually. So I was like, hey, why not? I like talking. I like the sound of my own voice.
Thankfully, some other people do as well.
What about you, Chris? What have you got?
Well, I've gone a little bit further down the line. I've gone for slightly later. I've gone for a 2018 in May, which is episode 17, which was Escape to Victory.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I've chosen a film that takes us all the way back to 1981. This has a
year
lot of
my birth.
The year of your birth, when I was 10, year of my 10th birthday. Every year, every August, my family, along with a lot of our street, would all take a bus and we'd go to Butlins for the week. The one thing that this Butlins had was a free cinema for children. They had a double bill, Flash Gordon, and the film I've chosen tonight, which is Escape to Victory.
Yay, it was a Max von Sydow double bill.
Kids go crazy for Max von Sydow, they really do. We love him.
They love the von Sydow. And I've written here, naked Michael Caine lighting cigarettes for guards in a shower.
Yes. There's only one reason that he's got his back to the camera. It's because he's got a big gut. He's got a big tummy in this film.
Michael Caine moobs. There's a strangely softcore vibe to that shot, really.
And this is where Stallone drops the F-bomb, and it's been dubbed out.
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't notice that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, as he's leaving the officer's mess, he turns around and says, "This friggin' soccer game's ruining my life." And he obviously says fuck.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I noticed it as a 10-year-old. Because everybody went, woo! In cinema. Have you watched many other football films? The ones with quite a lot of playing in? Because the only one I can think of with loads of playing is probably the Sean Bean one, When Saturday Comes.
Oh, is that where he beats Man U and he's pissed or something?
He's hungover.
He's hung.
Yeah. He has a trial when he's hungover.
Yeah.
He's playing for Sheffield United. That has the same problem that a lot of sports films, in a very similar way, a lot of bad music films as well, is that they'll cut to the hands or cut to the feet, and it'll be this amazing skill, and then they'll cut to the face of the actor.
Yeah.
With this, you don't get any of that.
No.
You get the whole thing. A lot of the shots are from a distance. Mm. There's no close-ups. It's all from a distance, so you can see them actually doing what they're meant to be doing.
It's like watching a really well-choreographed martial arts film. You know, it's like watching John Wick and seeing Keanu actually do cool Brazilian jiu-jitsu moves on people. And
Could you imagine if, like, Paul Greengrass had made this? Or
A lot of shaky cam.
Shaking the camera and the ball would just go in the net. That'd be it.
Instead of Bobby Moore, there'd be that Somalian chat. I'm the captain now.
I laugh so much that I bang my head on the barbecue, which is behind me there now. Now, one of the main reasons I chose this, other than the fact that it was a brilliant film, and we had a really, really massive laugh talking about it, it was our first remote recording.
Oh, yes. I wasn't sure when you just raised it, but I thought, God, that must have been one of the first ones.
Which therefore means it was the first recording here. In this garage.
Wow.
Yeah. The third character. It's still any good.
The third host. Studio.
Which is considerably tidier than when I first used to sit in here.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I used to sit on a beanbag with a laptop on, no chairs. Yeah. Like leaning against a barbecue.
Yeah.
And just shit everywhere. It's a bit more cleared up now.
You used to shit everywhere.
You may as well have done. I think the cats did.
They definitely pissed everywhere.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, amazing. And that was like, can we make this remote thing work? Yeah. Really? Can we do the long distance thing? We've joked about this a few times, but we kind of did the whole remote podcasting thing before it was cool and before COVID made it cool.
Yeah, we were innovators for that.
We were a good 2 years ahead of everyone else. Yeah, I remember, as soon as you said Escape to Victory, I got a visual of me sitting in my lounge in Wellington. I remember recording that night. Yeah.
But I think also Escape to Victory is the film that we reference the most in other episodes.
It is oft.
As soon as we talk about actors who aren't really actors, I'll always go, it's a bit like Escape to Victory, actually.
Yeah. A classic film, too. It was an enjoyable recording.
Yes. Yeah. Which I must watch again because it's such good fun. Right, on to you. What's next?
I've chosen Once Were Warriors.
Ooh, okay.
There would be a couple of guys in New Zealand who could do a comedy podcast about Once Were Warriors and just be totally douchey about it.
Yeah.
We'll do our best.
Yeah, we're probably not those two guys.
We're hoping. You may think we are by the end of this. About 3 minutes in, we get our first iconic meme moment when Beth opens a Swapper Crate bottle with a fish slice.
Yes. I was very impressed.
For those who don't know what a Swapper Crate is, it's a very large crate of beer, large bottles of beer. Then I think we're sort of at Jake at the pub, aren't we?
That pub.
Whew.
Oh my word.
It's got some good karaoke going on there.
This is the first instance of something that I really, really dislike, and that's barbecue reggae. There's so much of it in this film. That kind of UB40 style. It's not really reggae, but Kiwis love it.
Yeah.
And it's dreadful. And we've got this guy singing it on karaoke, and it's bloody awful. I'm so sorry. I just don't like it. Yeah. It's like 660 and things like that. I can't stand it.
A huge barbecue reggae band. That's a good term, actually, barbecue reggae. See, I actually think it's a little bit cheesy in a way how they've done the climax in the movie, because what they've done is they've taken Jake's violence and they've repurposed it for, inverted commas, good.
Yeah. It made me feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The attack on Grace by Bully is so awful.
Mm.
Your first instinct is to think, I hope someone tears him apart for that.
Kills the bastard, yeah.
And the one who does it is Jake,
who
we think, well, violence is not the answer.
No.
So are you supposed to feel satisfied that he's done it?
Yeah.
Are you supposed to feel uncomfortable? It's a very awkward scene. I don't know if that was done deliberately.
Because I remember watching this with, you know, one of my contemporaries at the time of 13, and when we left, talking about the film, and he came away thinking that Jake was a hero. Because he killed the baddie, or he beat the baddie. You'd hope that most people look at it in a slightly more nuanced way.
I would hope so.
He becomes this kind of violent angel of death and retribution, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's just, and to the filmmaker's credit, they don't glamorise the attack at all, though. It is horrific. Rewatching this, as I get older, I cry at the drop of a hat to bloody movies anyway, but you know, I was an emotional wreck watching this film. You know, it has almost become a joke to Kiwis. People refer to it as New Zealand's favourite romantic comedy, and, you know, there's so many memes about the making the eggs, and the power of it has almost been lost because it was this pop cultural phenomenon. But I just urge everyone to watch this.
Yep, I agree. I was blown away by it. I thought it was fantastic.
And if you think you kind of know it, and you think, oh, yeah, I've seen that, and da-da-da, but if you haven't seen it for a few years, watch it. Mm. So darling, here is my heart. Yeah, and I chose that one because, well, it was quite a popular one for us for a while, wasn't it? Is it still out?
For years.
For years.
Yeah. In our top five downloads, we still have more downloads for Once War Owners than all the others put together.
Wow, shit.
I don't know why.
Yeah. I mean, it's an iconic film in New Zealand.
Yes.
You know, it's an iconic New Zealand film. I've chosen it because it was great to be able to do a New Zealand film. It's a film that meant a lot to me. I felt like just it was a really good, meaty discussion.
It's true. It's not one that you can, with any sort of conscience, rip the piss out of.
No.
But we still managed to have a laugh along the way.
Exactly, without, you know, being too glib about the subject matter. And yeah, I just remember really enjoying it. And, you know, I've got a soft spot for Tim Weir, I always will.
We should try and get him on.
I'd love to get him on. He's just gone in the media slagging off Star Wars too. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, well, because he thought... He's just gone on going, I was waiting around for the phone call because I was supposed to be in The Mandalorian Season 3 and they never called me and I was here in New Zealand and I never got the phone call. And I was like, oh, I was reading it going, oh, no, Tim, shit the bed. Don't shit the bed, man.
Shitting on your own doorstep.
This is your fuck. Oh, they will bring you back in something else. Fuck, you know, you're the clones.
Yeah, that's why you're the voice of every Stormtrooper.
Yeah, nice little cameo in Obi-Wan.
Yes.
Kenobi. Yeah. So hopefully he hasn't shat the bed. I'm really happy that he's had a late stage renaissance.
Yeah.
In the Star Wars canon again. Yeah. But yeah, I'd love to get him on.
The other reason I think Once Warriors was so special for me was that was the first time I'd seen it.
Oh, yeah,
and
wow.
It absolutely blew me away.
Yeah.
It still holds up, I think, as one of the best films that I've seen throughout the whole 100 that we've watched.
Yeah. God, was it last week? Viola Davis was stopped on the red carpet and she was asked for sort of like what one of her favourite films was, and she said Once Warriors.
Wow. Yeah. I've always liked her.
Yeah, me too.
She's good.
Yeah, she's a real one. What's next on your one?
Right, we're going to February 2020, so 2 years after Once Warriors.
Just pre-COVID.
It was just pre-COVID, yeah. And this isn't to do with the quality of the film, because neither of us enjoyed the film. But it is one that I really, really enjoyed talking about, and that is Sliding Doors.
Come on, have fun, living in the
Speaking of tosses, I've got no idea why she'd be devoted to him. It also stars John Hannah as James, who makes John Lynch just like Ryan Gosling. I hated him so much in this film.
It's strange, isn't it? Because I'd actually forgotten how beautiful Gwyneth Paltrow was when she was...
Mm.
I mean, she's absolutely stunning in this movie and a nice enough person.
Oh, she's fun. She's
yet,
very nice.
Yeah, and yet she's shacked up with this total philandering loser and then falls in love with a kind of a creepy, annoying, obnoxious, deceitful guy too.
But in the long-haired reality, where, of course, she's missed the train, and then there's an announcement saying all trains have been cancelled. So she goes up to catch a taxi, and she's mugged.
Yeah.
Bangs into a tree and ends up in the hospital, which is still preferable to what happens to her next in the short-haired reality.
It is.
Because, of course, there she catches the train and sits next to John Hannah. This is one of the worst and most frustrating scenes ever committed to film.
Mm.
Because he displays the worst in male characteristics.
Yeah.
First of all, there's a man sitting next to him, and he's happily listening to his Walkman. And then John Hannah, James, starts slagging off this guy's music. Sort of
Elastic Thrombosis, that's the name of the band.
What a shit name. That's the sort of thing that my dad would come up with. Well, you listen to now. Elastic Thrombosis, is it? I don't think they're Beatles lyrics. James is kind of going, oh, those are Beatles lyrics. Everyone knows.
Yeah.
I don't know every Beatles song, but they don't sound like Beatles lyrics to me.
They don't. It's very badly written.
Yeah.
Very badly written.
But he doesn't bite. He just puts his headphones back on and ignores him. Quite right, too. So, of course, then he turns his attention to Helen. She clearly doesn't want to talk.
She's just trying to read a book.
That doesn't matter to James. He starts nudging her and starts kind of going, oh, nobody talks on the tube, do they? My first thought then was Flypaper from Tales of the Unexpected. It's that guy and that little girl on the bus.
The predator, yeah.
He's going, no one talks, you can't sing.
Yeah, it's no wonder, spoiler alert, his bloody wife's divorcing him, isn't it?
Yeah. She tells him she's reading a book. He knows she's reading it because he makes some sort of smart-ass comment about her book. And even when she finally breaks her silence and says, look, I don't want to talk. I just want to read my book. He carries on talking about himself.
Well, of course, we have left out that John Hannah does sign off.
Oh, how could I forget?
It's his trademark.
Yeah.
You know what the Monty Python boys say?
And she says, oh, look on the bright side of life. And he goes, no one expects the Spanish Inquisition. And that must be like catnip to a beautiful young woman like Helen. Someone going, oh, I've quoted Monty Python.
Famously popular with young women, Monty Python.
Oh, God. We've had a few callbacks to that one.
I think I've posted a photo of John Hannah on the train
so many times.
It's such a brilliant photo, though.
Anytime someone's being a fucking nuisance.
Men reading your tweets, Well, like, it's a film we didn't especially enjoy.
No.
Which is difficult because my wife loves it.
Okay.
So it's a hard one for me to talk about with her.
Yeah.
Because she says, why don't you like it? And then I rant off some of the nonsense
that we talked about.
Yeah. Just have a listen. I don't need to say anything. And also, from a technical perspective, any fans of the artwork that we have on Still Any Good?
Oh, yeah.
That was my first poster mock-up.
It was a good one, too.
It was hard doing the upside down. It took me ages to do.
The other thing that's great about this is it's like a little time capsule, isn't it? Back when people were talking about Gwyneth and her candles.
Well, we recorded it about a week after the candle incident. Absolutely.
Yeah. The sort of synesthesia of kind of like talking about it, and I get these visuals of like, because I remember I was in my old house in Lower Hutt then. It's really interesting the way that our lives have changed in these 6 years. Multiple venues of recording.
Well, yes. Yeah. We recorded one. I don't know whose house it was. I think it was Twin Town. And we recorded it in somebody's house. And I don't know who it was. But he gave us beer.
What?
It was on Shakespeare Road.
Oh, did we record that in
I don't know. I don't know who it was. He said hello.
Why were we in there?
I don't know.
Yeah. Really riveting stuff for you listeners, I'm sure. But
yeah. Get about 3 seconds of stuff out of that. Bizarre. Go on then, give us one.
Is it me again?
I just slide indoors.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, I have chosen Basic Instinct.
Oh!
it was interesting to watch it again. It's funny because, you know, at the time, it did feel like it was 90% sex. And, you know, they're just really just full-on sex scenes. And watching it back, the sex scenes are certainly the most tedious parts of the movie.
They are. They're really boring.
Really boring. They're very just sterile, kind of softcore. They don't feel like particularly realistic. It's not like Donald Sutherland and Julie Christie in Don't Look Now, which feels like a real sex scene, right? They just feel very, yeah, almost like a sort of an old Sky One sort of. They offered the role of Catherine Tramell to Kim Basinger, Julia Roberts, Greta Scacchi, Michelle Pfeiffer, Gina Davis, Kathleen Turner, Alan Barkin, and Mariel Hemingway before they even got anywhere near.
Betty White.
Rue McClanahan, the other golden girl.
Jessica Tandy, Jeanette Cranky. They were all offered it.
Melvin Hayes. He wears a V-neck woolly jumper with nothing underneath it to a nightclub. Why would you do that? You're either hot or you're cold. Who wants to dance in knitwear?
But it's V-neck, it's lime green, it's so unsuitable.
Very low cut, a lot of Michael Douglas cleavage on display.
Oh, yeah, there is, And it is one of those nightclubs that doesn't really exist in real life. It only exists in movies. In other words, it looks good.
It looks really good, almost like a cathedral kind of with fluorescent lights everywhere.
Yeah.
Just packed out with beautiful people doing kind of really ostentatious dancing.
Thankfully, Nick isn't dancing. And even when he and Catherine get on famously on the dance floor, he doesn't dance, he just stands there. Which again, just shows he's clearly twice the age of everybody else in the room. He doesn't really know what to do in a nightclub.
And then they go home and he's wearing his jumper and his bum's poking out.
If there was one thing worse than seeing Michael Douglas's cleavage in a nightclub, it's seeing that jumper with his bum sticking out the bottom.
There's an obvious reason why I've chosen this one. Again, a very fun chat. You know, it wasn't the best movie, I think we'll all agree.
We were just like two little schoolboys giggling, weren't we? We really were.
But it was a really enjoyable conversation. But this was also the one that was reviewed on BBC Radio London by our friend Simon London.
It was!
Which was probably the high point of this podcast, was being reviewed on BBC Radio.
Yes.
And it was a nice glowing review. Thank you, Simon, who of course we've had on the show a couple of times since. Wonderful guy, and we hope to have him on again soon.
Yes.
I think you texted me or messaged me or something because we were tagged in a tweet by Simon who was saying, I'm about to go on the Gabby Roslin show tomorrow morning reviewing these podcasts. And I was like, dun. And Still Any Good was tagged in there.
Yeah.
And we were convinced he'd tagged the wrong podcast.
Well, I actually sent him a message and said, is this correct? Have you done this by mistake?
Oh, nice one, Chris. Fuck, man. We could have been cool, man.
Oh. Well, no, he's listened to it. He knows we're not.
Yeah, and I just remember being absolutely, like, flabbergasted. Still not entirely sure how he chanced upon our podcast. But he was really, really lovely.
The thing that made me laugh is we had a very long talk about Basic Instinct, and some of it was obviously filthy and giggly.
Yeah.
I think we had quite a strokey, beardy discussion about the filmic styles of Paul Verhoeven and his use of satire. But he loved the podcast because we made fun of Michael Douglas's jumper.
And Simon recounted about how he used to wear a jumper like that. It's quite funny, actually. I was reading an interview with Michael Douglas in The Guardian, which was only about 3 weeks old or something, and he is asked about the jumper, the V-neck jumper.
Oh.
And he just kind of bats it away and says, look, I have great respect for costume people and the work they do, but I always get asked about that, that sweater.
But I do also like that. Going back to posters, I think that is my favourite poster.
That is
the Basic Instinct. Yeah. It's absolutely terrifying.
I remember getting a message from one of, you know, Simon Griggs.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I can't remember what his exact words were, but it was sort of like, Jesus Christ, my eyes or something, you know.
It's horrible.
Now, what about you?
Let's go. I'm moving around with the timelines a little bit.
Ooh.
It's not a sliding doors thing or anything like that. But I'm going to...
Very Tarantino of you.
Yes, thanks very much. I was going to talk about that Mexican guy who does, you know, Amores Perros and things like that. That's more my stuff. But 2019, July.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be good to recognise something that really changed the direction of what we were doing with the podcast, which was our very first guest.
Oh, okay.
So... It was Big Trouble in Little China.
Wow, with Marek.
With Marek.
And of course, Kim Cattrall, she's a lawyer named Gracie Law.
It's great, isn't it?
But with a name like that, you don't really have much choice. You're going to go into law, aren't you? I was remembering, and this is boring from Marek, in a town near Hastings, there was a shop called Mr. and Mrs. Trousers. And I think if you've got a surname like that, you've got no choice, have you?
Hang on, they're not actually called Mr. and Mrs. Trousers.
Well, I like to think they were.
Their real names weren't Trousers. I mean, Trousers is a great name.
Derek and Sharon Trousers, I think they were called.
Nice couple.
And people are just getting gunned down, and then they sort of break out the martial arts weaponry and have like this massive big rumble while Kurt Russell just sits there in his truck going, whoa.
That's a weird thing, isn't it? The fact that there's a funeral procession and Kurt Russell... has parked his 80-ton truck in the middle of the road and everyone is oblivious to it. We're just going to walk down this small road. Oh, no, someone's parked an 80-ton massive truck there, but we're just not going to notice that.
They don't even hide behind it.
Just walking past, we'll just squeeze behind this massive truck that's taken up all of the road.
And then the father says, yes, but there's one thing we can all agree on. All movement in the universe is caused by positive and negative furies.
That's basically physics with fury put on the end of it.
It is.
That's all he's done there. He's just taken a standard concept of physics and added fury at the end of it. You can do anything.
Yeah.
All energy in the world is positive and negative meat. Make up a word put on the end of it.
Exactly.
All just energy in the world is different variations of needing to go to the toilet or not needing to go to the toilet.
It was an absolute privilege, him being one of the co-hosts of Film course. Fandango. It was amazing to get him on as our first guest.
Yeah.
The podcasting idol.
Yeah.
And a smashing lovely man.
He is.
And it was an hour and a half of hooting with laughter.
It was a good fun chat, that one. Yeah. Really enjoyed that. Yeah.
Of course, I had him back, but you weren't available.
I wasn't.
You were busy with baby.
Otherwise occupied. I was. Yes. Yeah.
But that was really good because it just opened it up. And as soon as we'd got a guest on, we felt much more confident inviting other people on, knowing that we could do it.
Absolutely.
And that's been just different conversations and meeting some really, really lovely people.
Yeah, really. All our guests have been so nice and supportive. And, you know,
and patient.
And patient with our... our comically predictable tech issues. That we always have off mic.
I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
Yeah, so my next one is another New Zealand film, actually.
Okay.
Meet the Feebles.
Oh, thank God for that. I thought you were going to say
Foot Rock Flats. No, we won't talk about Foot Rock Flats.
No, we don't talk about Bruno or Foot Rock Flats. No.
We don't talk about Wall. And the reason I've chosen this one is because, again, a film that was a lot of fun to revisit. We had a really special guest on that one, Danny Mulhern, who was, of course, featured spectacularly in the film.
He's the main character.
He's the main character in the film.
And I was doing cabarets, and I did a thing called The Sex Fiend, which Fran and Pete came to. And it had lots of songs, like, you know, Sodomy was one of the songs in it. And they wanted the songs, and they said, oh, those are songs we're doing this musical, Meet the Feebles. Because we were just outdoing each other to be as disgusting as possible, really. And certainly I was. Something fell over. I think a film fell over that he was wanting to film straight away.
Brain Dead, I think, was it?
Brain Dead, yes, it was. And so there was this kind of gap, and we had this sort of pilot of Meet the Feebles. We didn't have a script, really. And we cobbled it together and bullshitted our way through the meetings. And Peter and I took it to Hollywood, and Hollywood didn't know quite how to take it. You know, even the so-called indie people in Hollywood, you know, they didn't have a fucking clue how to take it because they thought, oh, this will appeal to the indie crowd in Hollywood Boulevard. And they all stomped out yelling, these people have the morals of alley cats or some shit like that. And the testers were kind of horrified by it. We're sitting in this, people walked out and booed. And oh, it was a terrible screening. But I was giggling fits. And poor Peter, I just remember going pale and thinking, Christ, this is a fucking disaster. And was, I suppose. But, you know, a good disaster.
So, obviously, you had one part of it, which was the writing. But, of course, you had another very major part in the film as well. Donning that suit every day and playing Heidi.
Oh,
so what the hell was that like?
It was awesome. Man, I tell you, Heidi was really fun to play. It was really exhausting. And I was fit and thin back then. And I played all the other body parts. Well, that sounds weird, but all the other puppets that were full bodies. Like there was a bondage cow.
That was you?
Yeah, it was me.
Fantastic.
I got a Japanese award best female performance in a movie for Heidi. It was fucking wonderful.
We've had a history with Danny because when we were developing our feature film, the aforementioned feature film, we went to Wellington for a sort of a workshop with some actors, some proper actors, and Danny was the dramaturg who sort of led that workshop process for us, and that was cool. And he had some really great anecdotes and stories. And the other thing that I remember about that is that I recorded that from the Beehive, in my office in the Beehive.
You recorded it from Parliament.
Yeah, well, not Parliament, the Beehive.
The Beehive, yeah.
The executive. So so I don't know how many podcasts have been recorded from the Beehive.
None as good as that. Well, it was
not many, probably.
So it was you in the Beehive.
Yeah.
Danny was in, Marlborough.
Yeah.
Drinking wine, overlooking a river in the sunshine.
Yeah, this amazing scenic.
It was incredible.
Where he was shooting under the vines.
Yeah. And I was here in the garage.
Yeah. Hey, it's got a glamour and a status of its own, Chris.
It's got a smell of its own.
Yeah, well, we're both here now, so fuck.
Yeah. Look how far we've come.
It brought me back down to earth.
That's the thing about the garage is I look around and think, it's been 100 episodes, and I've always been promising myself to do something with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And look at it.
Well, you've cleaned it a bit. And what's next for you?
So, January 2021, so it was our New Year's episode, 2021.
Oh, okay.
And it is the Concorde.
All I remember really is George Kennedy looking flustered, and he's sort of like the Jack Ryan of the airport franchise, isn't he, really? So
I'd say he's more the Jessica Fletcher of the franchise of the skies, because whenever there's an horrendous air incident, he's there. And nobody ever thinks, should we ask Petroni what happened?
Well, there's one thing for sure. If it's an airport film, to paraphrase Harry Potter, you can expect O Petroni. So he totally just sort of gaslights her, and then she gets upset. And then at the end he says, blow your nose. Sweet Maggie. Sweet Maggie.
Blow your nose, sweet Maggie.
Sounds like a great sort of folk song, doesn't it? Blow your nose, sweet Maggie.
That's Rod Stewart's original lyrics.
Yeah. Hey, Maggie, I really think you need to blow your nose.
And this is where someone finally decides to give the pilots a call and tell them that there's a deadly missile heading their way. So Petroni takes extreme action. He puts the seatbelt light on. That's all he does. But then Joe turns into somebody from Coronation Street because he refers to the missile as that needle-nosed bugger.
Get up to cockpit. We'll evade that needle-nosed bugger.
This aircraft's going to crash, love.
Maggie, you're all full of cold.
That's right, nice perfume you're wearing there, R. Isabel.
What's Gail doing here?
Well,
I was actually thinking about that one. I love that recording.
Yes, me too.
That was so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, it was a film that, I mean, I don't like the expression, it's so bad it's good, but it's one of those that it's clearly not a good film, but really, really enjoyable to watch.
It was really enjoyable. It's not even a so bad it's good, because it's not an atrocious, it's not a badly made film.
No.
It's not, you know, it's a B-movie. It's really fun. God, George Kennedy. Some of the special effects. Alain Delon, I mean.
There's just a bit that I still think about it now, is you going, blow your nose. Sweet, sweet Chris, blow your nose.
Part of what I've loved about this podcast is discovering, because I'd never seen that before. I don't even think I'd heard of that one before. And just discovering some of these films that I would never in a million years choose to watch.
Yeah.
And, you know, at times it's a slightly punishing experience.
Yeah, we'll get to that, yeah.
But, yeah, other times it's like an absolutely delightful surprise.
Yeah.
And this was probably one that I was like, oh, God, Chris, you know.
It's clearly bad.
Yeah, you're going to make me watch this. Like Roller Coaster is another one, which, you know, I think I kind of was like, look, this is not a good film. But I actually quite often think about Roller Coaster.
It stayed with me as well, actually,
I quite often think about it, and I would watch it again.
Yeah.
It's almost one that I...
Well, you can, you still have my DVD. Well,
do I still have
it? You still got it, yeah.
Oh, fuck, sorry.
So you can watch it if you want.
At least I took the commitments back.
I know, I was in the library today and I went to check. I owe them a fortune.
Sorry.
I think there's a couple like that have stayed with me in the same way as it. Yeah. One is Piranha 2.
Yeah!
Which is an awful film, but it's so enjoyable.
And that was really early on in the piece, wasn't it?
That was one of our first Halloween ones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and the other one, which you didn't have the pleasure of recording, was No Retreat, No Surrender,
yes.
Which is an incredibly enjoyable film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've such a good to laugh to talk about and watch. Yeah, you
another
love it.
Another American.
That was another American one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I put it in that sort of camp, but the airport one is, I think, is the top of the pile of those.
The thing I remember about airport as well is there was a period of time after River, my son, was first born where I had to record in the kitchen.
That's right!
It's always been an odyssey of where the fuck can I... You've had the stability of the studio for a long time. For me, it's like, where the fuck can I go? I had to go into the kitchen so as not to wake up River and not to keep Natasha awake. And I'd sort of wedge myself in the corner of the bench by the fridge. And many times.
It's not, the life of a podcaster is not easy.
It's not easy.
It really isn't.
It's not easy.
Okay, number five.
So it's my final fave, and speaking of River, speaking of my son, I've chosen Tango and Cash.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
The screenwriters, you know, I don't know if they got paid more every time they put the phrase Tango and Cash in the script, but every scene is almost... Tango and Cash. Tango. Cash. Ray Tango. Gabe Cash. Tango and Cash.
You could play a drinking game, take a shot every time Jack Palance says it.
Yeah.
Because every line is Tango and Cash.
And then he goes, to mix it up, he'll say Tango and Cash. Cash and Tango.
Yeah. Tommy Cooper.
All he does, he goes, it's not for Tango, it's Cash. Tango and Cash. Cash and Tango. Ray Tango, $60 million. Cash. It was obviously getting paid per tango and cash. You know, it's like the characters are worried people are going to forget their names or something, or which one's Tango and which one's Cash, because Tango will always look at Cash and go, Cash, and Cash will look at
That's
Tango
right.
and go, Tango!
Tango! Because it feels to me like they wanted to make a Shane Black film, or John Peters wanted to make a Shane Black film, because Lethal Weapon had come out a couple of years before.
Yeah.
I think Lethal Weapon 2 came out this year, and they have tried very, very hard to emulate that kind of Shane Black lightning in a bottle.
They really have, and it is the kind of buddy cop 101 sort of template, isn't it?
Like I said, they've tried to emulate the Shane Black experience, but without giving away my opinions on this film, I don't think they've really understood the Shane Black experience.
The Shane Black Experience sounds like a prog rock covers band or something.
It's a tribute band, yeah. The Australian Shane Black Experience.
But yeah, sorry.
No, that's right. I'm leaving that in. That's great. We get
Brian James.
Ah, in this. Yes.
Now, he's the wake-up time-to-die man in Blade Runner, isn't he? Which is a great performance.
Yeah, he's good.
Which is why I am stunned at him in this.
His Cockney accent is shocking.
People always talk about Dick Van Dyke or Keanu Reeves. This guy makes them just sound like Ray Winstone.
Yeah, it's right up there with the Heather Graham from Hell, learnt it phonetically.
Oh, yeah, it's like he's learned how to do Cockney from Jamie Oliver. It's unbelievable.
So basically, Stallone said to him, "Hey, look, Brian, I'm sorry you've got no lines in the script." Brian said, "Bollocks to that."
Yeah. Do what, Governor?
And Stallone just lost it.
Because I have written down his first lines when they're strung up and they're about to be tortured. He comes in and says, "Oh, cut your bloody throat. Yank your thing out the hole and tie them in a knot for you, eh?" And that was a better Cockney accent than he did, because I'm British.
So this was recorded the day my son was born.
He wasn't born after you recorded it.
No, he was born before you recorded it. He was born
on the same day.
He was born at 2 a.m. and we recorded this. It must be like 8 p.m. or something. And the reason that I had the luxury, if you will, of recording a podcast is because it was level 4 lockdown in April 2020.
So you were still in Wellington, weren't you?
I was still in Wellington. I had to leave the hospital sort of 2 hours after River was delivered. So I sort of left at like 4 a.m. that morning.
Yeah.
Which was quite distressing.
Oh, it would be, most definitely.
Having to leave my partner and our newborn child. More distressing for her, of course. Yeah, it was a really just... couldn't really sleep. I remember it being such a odd day of kind of being alone, and it was level 4 lockdown, so it wasn't even like I could have mates over.
Yeah.
The experience didn't feel quite real because we've got this baby, but I've been fucking kicked out of the hospital.
Yeah.
So having the podcast that night was actually, it was a real relief for me to be able to actually sort of like talk to you and have a nice fun chat about, again, a movie that wasn't great, but it was a really enjoyable
It was chat good fun about to talk
it.
About.
It was really good fun to talk about. And it was just the whole time going, oh my God, in the back of my mind, just not having to be like worrying about Natasha and River.
Yeah.
And hoping that they're okay. And yeah, and then I didn't see them for another couple of days. God, I'll never forget that one.
Strange days. No. You're absolutely right. It's amazing that if you go back and listen to these now, it just puts you in a certain part
really
of your life.
It really does.
For you especially, because you've been all over the country and those sort of things have happened. And we haven't even got to the cyclone yet.
Oh my God, no. But yeah, so it's quite easy for me to choose like my top five. Not on the quality of the films or the episodes, but I sort of chose based on significance. For
yeah, no, that's great. It's like a little Desert Island Disc.
It
for
is
you.
The Desert Island Disc. Yeah, very much so. And you?
Well, finally, this is a bit more up to date. This is our most recent Christmas episode.
Oh!
Yeah, which was, of course, The Wild Geese.
Yeah! Sad are the eyes, yet no tears. The flight of the wild geese brings a new hope. Of course, we are on the whiskies tonight.
We are. I can't believe we are.
Really had to, didn't we, because of the cast of this film.
Yeah. We are paying tribute to the Richards in our own small way. Yeah. Because it is sort of like the Expendables. It's a British Expendables.
They are how you say expendable.
Expendable, very much. How do you say? From what I gather, the Expendables, they're meant to be old because they're action stars from the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're still built like brick shithouses who could run 100 metres in 12 seconds.
Yeah.
These are old men in berets running around the jungle.
Yeah. It was really confronted me with my own mortality watching Richard Burton just breathe.
Oh my God.
Because he's working for, so it's like the American Mafia in London, isn't it?
It's the American Mafia in London, yeah.
And he thinks he's delivering cash. Mm. But he's actually delivering heroin. And when he finds out he's delivering drugs, he's not happy. Because he's one of these strangely moralistic thugs.
He doesn't do drugs ever. Yeah, it's my religion.
So he turns up at this sort of mafioso's house.
Oh, this party.
At this party there, this sort of 70s groovy party.
He's there in his tweed coat and his hunter's cap.
Yeah.
But still, some Dollybird comes over and like fluffs his lapel.
Yeah.
And he's clearly very good looking.
He ends up shooting the bodyguard in the head.
Jesus.
And then he's consolidated all the heroin envelopes into one bag and he forces this sort of
youngish sort of son of like the mafia don. Yeah. Basically makes him.
It's horrible.
He's amazing. And all this heroin.
Pour it down.
Yeah, because he just recounts this tale how he went in and saw a girl who wasn't but 19.
Dying.
Says,
you boys are pushing bad stuff. Yeah. Which sounds weird out of Roger Moore's mouth.
And then this guy's like, and then he says, oh, I think you should scream about it or something.
Well, first of all, he says, I'm so excited, I don't know what to do.
He says, why don't you scream?
He goes, yahoo! Yeah.
And then Richard Harris makes this little face when Emil's screaming. He sort of goes, oh. It's almost like a cum face.
Yes. It's his yahoo face.
Who, when they're told to scream, goes, yahoo!
But it's not even like yahoo, it's yahoo!
Yeah, yahoo! And then Richard Burton comes in and says, what was all that screaming I heard? Really? You heard screaming?
Any scream. Sound like a kettle going off.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Should we do some housekeeping?
Can't really be fucked.
No, me either, actually.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, everyone.
You know where we are.
Please leave us a good 5-star review.
Leave us a good star review or buy us a coffee. That would be lovely.
God bless us, everyone.
Oh, yes.
You there! What podcast episode is this?
What podcast is this?
Don't hurt the girl.
Don't hurt the girl. I can't even do it. Don't hurt the girl. Yeah. Or in Bill Nye, don't hurt the girl. I've chosen this for several reasons. One of which, it's an absolutely smashing film.
Oh my god, I love that film. Yeah. I can't remember what the website I've watched this on again. I can't remember what it was called. But I was able to watch it with subtitles. And I probably spent something like 3 hours screen capping different frames of this.
And you sent me loads of them.
I sent you loads of them. But there's a lot more. Trust me, there's a lot more. And I didn't even get through like the third act. I've still got to go back. Because it is so memeable.
Yeah.
And so anytime someone in the Wild Geese Facebook group, you know, like sometimes it'll be a new member who sort of comes in with a quote. Any opportunity for me to plonk on a, you know, whether it's Richard Burton cheesing away or...
I often use the one of Roger Moore saying, you too, beauty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
And but it was such a fun recording too. We got on the piss.
That was the other thing. I mean, for several reasons. One, because it was our Christmas episode and we felt we needed a celebration. But also because it featured some Hollywood Hellraisers and there's a lot of drinking of whiskey in this film.
Yeah.
Rob brought with him a litre of whiskey, large and straight, throughout the recording.
With my whiskey. Yeah.
Throughout the recording. We drank it.
I know.
And God. I honestly don't remember the last half an hour of the recording.
Mum and Dad picked me up at sort of like 11 o'clock or something.
I was working the next day, and the next day was my work Christmas lunch.
Oh, God.
I was in a terrible state.
I think I was on my Christmas holidays after that. So
I thought that.
But I remember feeling really rough. Yeah.
But it was well worth it.
It was. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is one of those, again, I've listened to it and it does make me laugh a lot.
Yeah.
It's a really good fun episode. So if people want to start...
Limbani's alive?
How many Richard Burton impressions can we... Yes, you'll do. How many can we stick in one?
But the tone of the film, it was like the perfect sort of end of year celebratory, really fun, enjoyable boys film to kind of watch and laugh about and discuss while drinking whiskey. To the point where we, you know, and this may not be a healthy kind of thing, but it's made me want to get on the piss and record again.
I couldn't agree more. There's a new 100 and whatever resolution is we must get heavily drunk
while
recording another episode.
I think so, yeah absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
So that's 5 of the best.
All right.
So, do we want to do episodes or films that we're not so keen on?
Yeah, you go.
Okay. Yellowbeard. I'm not going to do a bloody build-up for that one.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Should we just get straight to it? Is Yellowbeard still any good?
No, and it was never good.
Well, it was for you once, wasn't it?
It was for me once. Yeah, and it's kind of like when, you know, about 10 years ago when those retro channels started playing, like, the A-Team and Knight Rider again and Battlestar Galactica, and you'd sit down. Actually, Battlestar Galactica is actually still good. But you'd sit down and go, oh, God, I used to love Knight Rider when I was a kid. This would be really cool to watch this again. And they're just unwatchable. And the A-Team is just unwatchable. Even saying that, this would have been vaguely unwatchable even in the early 80s, I think. Yeah, I was surprised how bad it was. Like, looking back on it, I thought, you know, before I rewatched it, I was like, oh yeah, it was you know, kind of like a good episode of Blackadder. It was a really good spoof with some really funny moments and some really good performances from this impeccable cast. And so no, not good at all.
I have to say, I hated it. I'm sorry. I know how you feel now, having watched Digby the Biggest Dog in the World. I absolutely hated it.
Yeah.
It was just one of those examples, like I mentioned before, like Ocean's 12, where it's just a group of people who've got together in a nice location just to have some fun.
Yeah.
It's Carry On Columbus levels of bad.
It is.
It's the Expendables of shit comedy. I honestly think it's one of the worst films I've ever seen. I'm sorry, Rob.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even worse than Digby.
Yeah. I'd rather watch Digby than watch this again. You chose Yellowbeard.
Yeah.
You chose Yellowbeard.
I did choose Yellowbeard.
Rob chose Yellowbeard. It wasn't me.
I was really uncertain as to whether or not it would be good, because I loved Yellowbeard as a kid. For me, as a kid, it was up there with sort of Blazing Saddles as, you know, one that I'd chuck on a rainy day or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Up there with Top Secret, Blazing Saddles and Yellowbeard. That was sort of like my three go-to comedies.
You know what Meatloaf says?
He was right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I loved it. It would have me in stitches as a child. And hadn't seen it for a long, long time. And, it was fucking awful.
Yeah, certainly the worst film that we've seen for this. Just hated it on every single level. It was hateful.
Yeah.
Its big strength was it told rape jokes.
Yeah.
Just horrible, nasty, grubby film. And I think what annoyed me more is it's got so much talent in it.
Yeah, I know. When you said that, I was thinking, oh, Madeline Kahn, you know, Graham Chapman, Cleese, James Mason. I mean,
of course, I forgot James Mason, was it?
Cheech and Chong.
Nigel Planer,
David Bowie turns up.
Oh my God.
But there's another reason.
There is another reason. Because, of course, I'm the editor. Mm. And I can't remember, there was something wrong with my sound recorder. I don't know if it was like there was a massive rainstorm.
It was pissing down.
It was pissing it down with rain.
Yeah,
and of course,
it was pissing down
my
rain.
Studio has a corrugated iron roof, which isn't the best.
Yeah.
And so my sound was just my quiet little voice and through the whole thing. And I thought, well, there's no way I want to talk about this film again, but I don't want to write it off.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I had to do, luckily, your technology wasn't good either.
No.
Because you had a bit of bleed in your headphones.
That's right. God, we had about three or four or five episodes where I had a fucking bleeding headphone.
So I could hear very faintly my voice coming through your recording.
Yeah.
So I transcribed everything.
Oh my God.
Typed it all out. And then acted it out.
God.
So I held up my phone, listened to your recording, and acted it out. And it was woeful.
Oh, no.
So it's one that I just can't listen to.
You get a sort of PTSD sort of reaction
to it. So it gives me the shivers.
Oh.
So it's not for me.
I'm out.
But I believe that is the episode that got our good friend Tyler interested in us. It was either that or Digby. So he's a real glutton for punishment.
Was it Digby? I think it was Digby because of the spike.
I know he's commented on the Yellowbeard episode.
Yeah,
as well.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, that brings me to my least favourite episode. Yeah. And this is a bit of a cheat, okay? I'm just going to let the cat out.
Yours isn't hateful, is it? You're one of those.
I'm going to say my least favourite episode is the... Because obviously, one of our annual things, right, is that we do Tales of the Unexpected episodes as well. So in 2022... we had Tyler Adams of the wonderful Goon Pod as a guest on Tales of the Unexpected.
It's still any good? Is it still any good?
But it's got this towering performance by Mr. Ron Moody, who's chewing the scenery. Something rotten, isn't he?
He's amazing in this. He's so good. Everybody else plays it completely straight. And then he bursts in. He looks a bit like the Bruce Forsyth in Toast of London.
He does. He's playing Richard Pratt, which is a suitable name for him. He's a wine snob. He's a wine expert. Oh, and by the way, at the beginning, as Roald sort of introduces the story, he mentions that he's got a cellar full of, 5,000 bottles of wine? Something like that.
5,000 bottles of wine, some of which are superb.
And he drinks a couple every night. Never done him any harm.
Yeah, I think it might have rolled. Whenever we see her, she's just stuffing chocolates in her face. She's sitting down watching TV. The only thing that disturbed me about that is the way that she eats her chocolates. She doesn't do it like a real person does. She actually bites it in half. Mm. If you've got like Quality Street or whatever, you just shove it in whole. It's like if you took a crisp and bit it in half. It just nobody does it.
By the way, when she's not stuffing a face full of chocolates, she's shaving her legs at the breakfast table.
Which is much more sickening than somebody eating chocolate. She's using his electric razor on the kitchen table. You never saw Victor Kiam talk about that, did you?
Just on that, and you can cut this bit out, I'm sure you will. Is still a known entity in New Zealand? Rob will know this. There was this urban legend going around the schoolyards. I certainly heard this story that he'd been admitted to hospital, to A&E, with... sorry. With a Vegemite jar. Inserted in a place it oughtn't be.
Oh my god! Now we've got some Vegemite in the cupboard. Those jars are huge.
Allegedly, if he's still around.
I mean, I think that's quite symbolic because obviously Vegemite, like Marmite, is something that some people really, really love to do and some people just can't stomach it. Oh, what a lovely story.
That's my least favourite one because I got COVID and couldn't.
You couldn't take part.
Part. I was very sick. It was a really good episode. It's a great episode. I really enjoyed listening to it, but I was just, that's my little cheating. Yeah.
That is a bit cheating. And it was a good episode because Tyler, as well as being very knowledgeable on the Goons, he's also a bit of a TV historian as well. Yes. So he's got a lot of knowledge about some of the people who were in these episodes. So he had some good stories, one of which was potentially libelous.
Mm.
So I kept that in.
Yeah, you did. But, you know, he's great. You know, he's obviously been on The Jerk and we've been lucky enough to be on Goon Pod as well. Mm-hmm. We'll definitely have Tyler on again.
Yep.
I think we've already...
We have picked out a film.
Yeah, we've picked out a film. Yeah, but, you know, when we sort of talked about our sort of top five and bottom five, I have gone through our list of sort of 100 episodes so many times, and I just couldn't do it. Every single one, whether it was a shit film or not, there's a warm place in my heart for all of them.
Yeah, maybe I am being a bit unfair on Yellowbeard because it wasn't the entire episode. I think it was about the first 45 minutes that I had to ADR.
Yeah.
And I know there is a bit at the end where you make me laugh for about 2 minutes. And I can't remember why.
I can't remember why.
So I think I think every single episode does involve a belly laugh.
Yeah.
So I can't really say anything too negative about any of them because there is always a bit where I'm in pain laughing.
Yeah, and just going through the list, the thing that just astounds me is that, fuck, there's 100 films on there. And you sort of forget them, and then you go, oh, no, yeah, I remember that one. I remember that.
Fright Night.
I almost had Fright Night on this as one of my favorites because that was such a fun one to rewatch. It's a bit lame, but
it's all right.
I can't really pick it.
You stitched me up, didn't you?
I'll stitch you up.
Stitch you up like a kipper.
In your flop.
You would well in my flop. It's not a studio, it's a flop.
Yeah. Have you got more?
No, that's it.
Yeah.
But what I would like to do is
we've
had some very nice messages
Lovely.
From some of our listeners. So I thought I'd share those with you. So We got one from Bobby Allen.
Hey, Bobby.
Who was our guest on Heather's.
Yes.
The novelist, Bobby Allen.
The award-winning novelist, I believe.
She wanted to say a few reasons why she enjoys the podcast, and she said, you guys are funny.
Oh, thanks,
That's
Bobby.
Not the end of the message.
Okay.
And excellent company on the long journeys I undertake, driving between Bexhill and Cardiff, which is around 7 hours at a time.
Jeez.
Which is 14 hours in total, which is probably about two of our episodes. You need to do more pods, guys. I'm running out of episodes.
Oh, we do.
We're working on it, Bobby.
That's interesting, actually, because when you go through the lengths of the episodes, like, I think Crowell was like 36 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
And now you'd be hard-pressed to find one that's under 1 hour and 15.
Yeah.
We got a bit more indulgent, but I don't care.
I don't care either.
I like a long pod.
Yeah, I like to talk. Yeah. And sit and listen to your favourite episodes. Escape to Victory.
Yay.
Thank you, Bobby. Face Off.
Good choice.
The Tall Guy.
Yeah, that's a good one. It was.
Yep. The Fugitive.
Yes.
I enjoyed that one very much. The Wild Geese.
Hey!
And the one that began it all for me after you slid into my Twitter when I mentioned sliding doors in a tweet that time. That's why I'm uncomfortably shuffling when she mentioned that one.
Hey.
Yep, and she's also said some films you could consider.
Oh, okay, Bobby.
She has said Pretty Woman.
Yeah, yeah.
Rocky III.
Oh, yes, yeah.
The Howling.
Yeah.
Amadeus.
Hey.
Herbie the Love Bug.
Okay.
Any Which Way But Loose.
Yes, I'm really up for that one.
An Affair to Remember and Rhinestone.
Rhinestone. Is that the one with Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah, it's where he sings, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
I have seen that.
Okay.
Very
I mean, that's,
those are good choices.
That keeps us going. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, there's at least three on there I think we could talk about.
Yeah, I'll definitely. We should get her on for one of them then.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We also got one from Chris Tuckley in York.
Oh, hello, Chris.
A special thank you to Chris. Thanks for the coffee, Chris. That was very kind of you.
Oh. He gave us a little coffee.
He did. He gave us a coffee, which is absolutely unbelievable. So thank you for that. Congratulations on reaching such a podcasting milestone. I've been listening since the Police Academy 2 episode with David Reed.
Ah, your other film, Fandango.
That's right, my other icon.
Yes.
And I'm always happy when a new SAG lands in my downloads.
Hey!
I get that.
Thanks for using the acronym there.
A few suggestions for future reviews.
Oh, great.
Remo Unarmed and Dangerous.
Oh, I am all for that one.
Count me in.
I loved Remo.
Yep. Unarmed and Dangerous. Remo! Runaway, which I know,
with
we've
Tom Selleck.
I know we've discussed it.
Yeah, the Michael Crichton, Tom Selleck one.
We must have talked about it when we did Great Train Robbery.
Yeah. Now, that's a really good choice, that one, too. Yep. Gene Simmons, I think, was the baddie, isn't
it? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All right with that. And National Lampoon's Class Reunion, which I don't think I've ever seen.
Yeah, I've never seen that one.
I saw all of these on TV as a kid and subsequently had Runaway and Class Reunion on VHS, but haven't seen them in decades. Is it any good? I suspect I know what the answer will be, but appreciate your specialist scrutiny and verdict.
Oh, excellent suggestions,
Chris. Yeah, that's great. Oh, he hasn't finished. I hope the recovery from the effects of Gabrielle is proceeding well and wish you all the best for the next 100 episodes.
Oh, thank you,
Chris. That's lovely.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And it wouldn't be a list of correspondence without one from Sonia.
Hey, Sonia.
Sonia Dehan.
Our super fan.
Now, this is one she sent in a little while ago.
Yeah.
So it's not a congratulations, it's just a suggestion.
Okay.
So she's written, I just did a rewatch of Scream because my daughter wanted to see it.
Ah, yeah.
And it aged really well. I actually enjoyed it way more as the meta jokes were so much funnier this time.
Okay.
Plus, the opening scene is still really good. Now, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
Because my daughter wanted to watch it recently as well. Yeah. So we watched it with Grace. And it was brilliant.
Okay.
Much better than I ever remember.
I think Grace actually almost looks a little bit like Drew Barrymore in that.
I could string her up sometimes.
That opening scene is so horrifying.
It's remarkable. Yeah.
It's really upsetting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Grace didn't really understand a lot of the horror references, but she enjoyed it as a standalone horror film. So from a different sort of perspective. But I used to find some of the characters really annoying.
Mm.
Mainly Matthew Lillard. But no, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
So I agree with Sonia.
Okay.
Thank you, Sonia. Sonia is one of our listeners from episode one.
Tried and true loyal.
Yeah.
The fourth host.
Good on you, Sonia. Eddie Hyde from Edinburgh.
Okay.
Love the show. Followed you from Film Fandango days.
Yay!
Though I pick and choose the episodes depending on the film. Oh, Eddie.
Come on, Eddie.
Yeah. Live a little.
Yeah. May surprise yourself.
Given that, got to suggest Marek for the 100th episode. Sorry. Too late. We should get him back, though.
Yeah.
Yep. As for films, maybe Star Wars Episode 6. Return of the Jedi.
Ah,
well, Eddie, wow. Do we have some news for you?
We do.
We do. That's going to be happening in the next few episodes.
Yeah, yep. Soonish.
Yep,
yeah,
we've already chosen that, so that's a lovely
40th
choice.
40th anniversary this year, too. But,
it is. Yeah. Oh, it's worthwhile doing then. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. I also want to say a thank you to Robert Mallett, who I think is somewhere in the United States, because he also recently bought us a coffee.
Oh, thank you.
And he says he was put onto the podcast at the recommendation of Julia Rayside.
Hey!
So he says he owes her a coffee too.
Oh, yeah, lovely. That's coffee's great. All around.
Now, I did say that we did have another format of message.
Okay.
Now, this is from one of our previous guests, Andy Craik.
DJ Andy Craik.
DJ Andy Craik, to use his full name.
Yeah.
Who was with us for Society.
That was fun.
That was a great one. I was tempted to put that in because it's such a good one.
Too.
So I will play it for you now because you haven't heard this before.
I haven't.
Still any good? Still any good? Still any good?
Greetings, Sagpodders. I am DJ Andy Craik, host of radio shows such as Screen Sounds on This Day 90s and now Choose the Tunes on Mad Wasp Radio. And I've heard that the Still Any Good podcast has somehow got to 100 episodes. As a friend and former guest of the show, Chris's boss in his other job, and most of all a fan, I just had to pop by and say hello. Right, drop the radio voice, and I just want to say huge congratulations, y'all, to Chris and Rob for the massive achievement of producing 100 top-quality podcasts, which have kept me, and I'm sure everyone else, entertained and in fits of laughter for the past 41 years in cat years. And they've done it while raising children, maintaining relationships, holding down jobs, and coping with the extremes of New Zealand weather, and all from in Chris's garage most of the time. It was great to be a guest on the show last year, and I'm hoping to repeat that very soon. But now, Rob and Chris, let's see if you can get to another 100 episodes. I'm sure you can. Well done. Good luck, guys. Love you. Bye.
That's what I call effort.
That's more effort than we've ever gone through an actual podcast.
I wouldn't do that.
Mind you, you have just recounted your yellow beard tale.
Yeah, true.
Doing your own ADR.
Yeah, you're right. I would do that. You're absolutely right. Yeah. So, Andy, that was lovely. Thank you so much.
That was really heartwarming, Andy. I loved that.
Yeah. So, we will plug Andy because his new radio show, Choose the Tunes, is always nice.
Mm.
It's a bit like Desert Island Discs for plebs.
Yeah, okay.
So, you can write in and you can put in a list of, very much like we've done tonight.
No, we've just
a list of songs.
We're a couple of plebs. Just done
Choose the Pods. Yeah. So, you choose. Choose tunes that are certain landmarks in your life.
Oh, lovely.
And he's looking for people to do it. So I'm going to do it at some point, and I recommend you do too.
Yes, I'd love to.
It's a very good show.
And speaking of Andy, he's going to be our next guest,
isn't he? He is going to be our next guest. We're having him back.
Great.
And he has chosen that little-known film, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
An indie film.
Hey, very good. Do you want another cuppa?
Oh.
I have a thermos.
Oh. Look at you.
Yay.
This is a studio. The noisy unscrewing of the thermos.
My noisy thermos. Because it's from a thermos. I'm leaving this in. Because it's from a thermos, it's going to taste funny, you know that. But
that's all right. Thank you.
It's strong. I heard somebody say once that if the proper cup of tea should be the same colour as He-Man's skin. And I think that's about right.
Sort of permatan.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not alcohol, but we will do the usual clinky clanky.
Well, it is the sort of the drink of the pod.
It is the drink of the pod, a nice cup of tea. So yes, let's do a bit of housekeeping. If you want to get in touch with us, we're on Twitter, it's Still Any Good Pod.
Instagram, Still Any Good Pod.
We're also on Facebook, and if you want to email us, we're stillanygood@gmail.com. Please remember to rate and review us wherever you get your podcast from. And if you're like Chris or Robert and you wanted to contribute to the running of the Oh my god! We didn't do it, it wasn't us.
The other Chris and Robert.
The other Chris and Robert. If you're like Mr. Tuckley or Mr. Mallet and would like to help to contribute to the running costs, because it does cost money to do this, that would be wonderful. But if not, that's fine too. Just enjoy all this lovely free content.
But please do rate and review us on
It's normally Apple, isn't it?
Yeah. Apple. Yeah, it just helps me smile.
And others to find the podcast.
Because I don't think we've had a review on there for about 8 months. Yeah. And that was Bobby.
We can't just keep using our former guests to review us.
So that will be good. It does help other people find us.
It does help other people find us.
And we do like being listened to, as you've probably guessed.
That's why we do this.
I think it's probably time to go.
Alrighty.
We will be back, we promise, very, very soon with a brand new episode where we talk about a film rather than talking about ourselves.
Indeed.
We will see you soon, folks. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Special effects guys, and it was the first fully rendered CG character.
Cool.
Which is the stained glass window man.
Yeah, yeah. So Jar Jar Windows.
Jar Jar Windows, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's made me giggle. So I.
Not sure why that was funny, but
oh, compose yourself, man. This is terrible.